This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. And occasionally, somebody that you know for one or two things in the community does something maybe you weren't expecting. Milo Anderson, Oregon Tool and Supply owner for decades, well-known for being a motorcyclist. He's written a book. Milo, thanks for coming in.
Well, you're welcome, Kyle. Thanks for being here.
So I've got to ask you, backing up, and I've just sort of scanned through this. This is nearly a 600-page book. But obviously, motorcycle is a big part of your life. How did you get into them to begin with?
Well, I was about 13 or 14 and got a mini bike. And the very first thing I did was take it apart all the way. And my dad painted it bright green. And I had no idea that green was a myth. It said green is unlucky for motorcycles, but I did it green. So I rode a mini bike. Then I transferred into another one, a Yamaha 250. And then when I was about 15 years old, I decided that I wanted a bike, and my mom didn't want me to have a motorcycle, naturally, like most moms don't. And she said, your mom and dad will not allow you to have a motorcycle because you need our signature to get a license until you're 21. I called the DMV, and guess what? Mom was wrong. And so I went to the DMV, got a learner's permit, bought a motorcycle, put it in my name, and rode home. I can still picture mom on the porch. As I rode up, she goes, son, I knew you were going to find out, but I was hoping it wasn't going to be this soon. And that's how it all started, Kyle.
Wow. So I find it kind of fascinating that somebody who, business-wise, you have been known for dealing with tools, well, of course, naturally, you'd get a motorcycle or a mini bike or whatever and just take it apart.
It seemed like the thing to do. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. You just have to do it. And then because a man put it together, so a man can take it apart and put it together again, the way I looked at it, or a boy can anyway.
Now, you have really stuck with bikes throughout the years. Any idea how many you've owned?
Well, the next one was a Yamaha 650 that I had for about 3 years. And then I went to the California Highway Patrol auction in Sacramento one time and looked at some motorcycles that were up for auction that the cops had used up. And I bid on the ones that I could start. And I bid on five of them. About 3 weeks later, I get a phone call from the California Highway Patrol, said, Mr. Anderson, this is so-and-so from the California Highway Patrol. I said, why are you calling me? You generally pull me over and give me a ticket. And they said, no, we've accepted your bid on bike number, blah, 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 whatever it was. So I went up and bought a motorcycle from the auction for $1,126.13, brought it back home, rode it for about 5 miles, took it apart, and started working on it and changed it to my way. On one of the pages here, there's a picture of the black and white California Highway Patrol bike, my Yamaha 650, and my 63 Chevy panel that I inherited from my dad.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Now, I am also find it interesting that you've gotten so many pictures in this book. Did you always take a lot of pictures, or did other people in your family take them?
I was mainly the picture taker. When we went off on motorcycle trips, I was the one with the camera and taking pictures a lot. And I just put them in boxes and put some in albums as we went along. And like on the next page, you're going to see a picture of the blue shovel head where I took it in, had a lot of things chromed. I built the motorcycle from the ground up, which means painting the frame, putting it together piece by piece, in the living room of a house in Oakland, California. And when I got everything done and ready to go, I put the first quart of oil in it, and I couldn't see it, but it was on the other side. Guess who forgot to put the drain plug in the oil bag? Me. The oil ran out on the carpet. Well, it was a rental house, and it was one of those things to where now that I'm it's just one of those things where I probably shouldn't have done that, but I built two bikes from scratch in the living room.
So, by the way, the name of the book, we didn't even mention that. It's called Milo and the Rat Bike, The Early Years. And how long has this been out?
We got it about a week and a half ago. I got the first 100 copies printed. And the way this started was 2 years ago for my birthday, my oldest daughter, Danielle, gave me a present from Storyworth. Now, Storyworth, I had no idea what it was. And they have their own formatting. You just download a program, and you put in writing what you want to put in, and it formats itself. You put the pictures in, and you send it in, and they give you a proof to read. And after proofing it, they send a book to you. Well, I ordered another book because I had two daughters. And the first one that was $100, the second book was $100. And I figured, okay, two daughters, that's good. Well, then the more that I looked at it, the more I could expand on the stories, but they only let you go to like 300 and something pages. So I couldn't do that. And so I figured, okay, I'm going to start looking at some publishing companies. Well, they wanted a lot of money, and it was getting down to about $60 a book if I went through a publishing company. So Danny and I, my daughter, we decided to do it ourselves, and so it's called Anderson & Anderson Publishing because that's what we do. Danny did. She was the brains behind everything as far as formatting, putting pictures in, making it the way it should be. And then we sent it off to a printing company who did the printing. I got the books landed at the store. They cost about $30 a piece for me to get them landed at the store. So I'm selling them at Oregon Tool and Supply for $35. And I guarantee you're going to get $35 worth of entertainment out of some of the shenanigans that I put in the book.
Well, a long process of doing this. How far back did you have the idea of maybe I should, you've got all these stories, maybe I should do something with them sometime?
Have you ever been sitting around a campfire or sitting around a group of people and everybody tells stories and somebody inevitably says, wow, you should write a book. You've got so many good things to say. And so I've heard that a few times. And then finally, after Danny gave me the book for StoryWorth and did that, that was 2 years ago. And then I started going with it, some more expanding on it. And I had to tap some of my high school friends for some of their memories, some of the stories I've forgotten about. And then once I got going, I could remember a whole lot more things. There's naturally a few things in the book that I didn't put in there because my grandkids are going to be reading this eventually. But there's a lot of fun stuff in there right now, Kyle.
So you basically tried to keep it like PG-13.
Yeah, there's a few things where I talked to John Hanlon a couple days ago, our sheriff, and told him about the book. I said, you know, there's a story about I fought the law and the law won. Well, I fought the law and Milo won on getting away from the cops. There's a couple of stories about that where I got away from the cops on with the lights on and things that the statute of limitations has run out on, thank goodness. And John thought it was pretty cool. He said, I'm going to come down and get a book, Milo. Sounds like a great thing to read.
Wow. Now, motorcycles, do you still ride?
Of course. I still ride, but not as much as I have been because I've got knee situations. I've had 5 knee replacements done on the same left knee. And I rode last about a year and a half ago to a friend's memorial when Gino Benedetti died. Went to his, but got the bike fired up and went to his. And I felt a little bit unsure about myself, so I haven't really been able to ride that much lately.
Now, are the knee replacements, is that tied to riding motorcycles at all?
No, it started with a truck wreck in 1975, and I smashed my knee against the dash, and they operated on me and took out a bunch of torn cartilage. Well, they don't do that anymore. They used to back then, but not anymore. And so that was the downfall. So that's why I was bone on bone for 40 years, and it was time for a knee replacement, and that didn't go good, and neither did the next 4. So I'm suffering with that right now, but it's okay.
Now, is that the one, and I saw as I was going through, there was a picture where you were in a wheelchair for a while, or you were having a hard time getting around?
I hit a cow in 1986.
Ah.
There was a cow standing sideways in the middle of the road of 10 Mile Valley Road, and black cow, black night, and I hadn't been drinking for quite a few months, and so that was not a drunken act, and I just ran into the cow. I shattered the cow's hip, it shattered my right hip, and I didn't walk for a year. And so after I got out of the hospital up in Portland at OHSU for 2 weeks up there, I was sponsoring the Crash Classic, Oregon Tool and Supplies Crash Classic at the fairgrounds for the racetrack. And about 3 days after I got out of the hospital, there was a situation to where I wanted to be there. Friends came out to the house. They grabbed me. They got a hospital bed that was upstairs. They brought it downstairs, put it in a truck, and brought me to the racetrack in the back of the pickup truck, open pickup truck, with me in the hospital bed going to the races so I could watch the races 3 days out of the hospital.
Wow. Somehow that doesn't surprise me. You don't, and I'm guessing your doctor, you probably didn't tell that to, right?
No, there's some things that you just do. You want to do it and you just do it. And a lot about this bike, or about the bike, about the stories about the motorcycles are motorcycling stories. A lot of it's about Oregon Tool and Supply, starting the business. The very first ad I took out with the News Review in 1983 is in the book. And there's a lot of shenanigans that I have done in the past that are not motorcycle related, not Oregon Tool related, but shenanigans that I have done and got me in trouble here and there. But there's a lot of things that's worth chuckling over, and you'll be laughing out loud at some of the things that I put in here.
All right, more when we come back. Milo Anderson, the book is called Milo and the Rat Bike, The Early Years. We'll continue in a moment. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Milo and the Rap Bike, the early years. Milo Anderson from Oregon Tool and Supply with a book out and available in the store right now, you said, right?
Yep, $35 at Oregon Tool and Supply at the corner of Stevens and Douglas Street in beautiful downtown Roseburg.
How many times do you think you've said that over the years?
Well, we've been in the building right now for about 32 years, so probably at least a lot.
Now, how did you get into the tool business?
That part was an accident. Mom needed an operation. She lived in Oakland, California. So in 1982, I went down there to help take care of her after she got out of the hospital. And a friend of mine was managing Post Tool and that I went to high school with. So he said, Milo, come to work for me. I was going to work for him for about 3 weeks or so. I was doing $5 an hour under the table with credit for tools purchased. I worked the whole month of December for a Makita planer. I came back home with a lot of tools. The 3 or 4 weeks ended up being 5.5 months. And so I got a lot of tools. Friends would come over and say, hey, Milo, can you get me a table saw? Hey, I want a drill press. And so I was making a couple of trips a month back down to Oakland to buy stuff at a discount, mark it up a little bit to pay for gas, and then sell to my friends. One day I said, wow, maybe I can sell some tools to people I don't know. So I bought 4 drill presses, put them together, put them in Oregon Cycle Supplies business with an ad in the paper saying drill press for sale, got on my Harley, rode to Sturgis, South Dakota for 2 weeks. When I came back, all 4 were sold. And so I said, wow, maybe this might work after all. So I borrowed $5,000 from my mom, got a partner, which was a mistake because it's like a bad marriage, and started Oregon Tool and Supply in Winston at Southeast Main Street, which was a 12-foot wide by 24-foot building, put ads in the paper, and people came. That's how it all started.
Wow, and 12 by 20, I mean, that's like the size of a bedroom.
Yeah, you can reach across from wall to wall just about, and that's what we started Oregon Tool in. And about a year and a half later, I bought my partner out and started doing things my way. And back to the motorcycle.
Yeah.
If you look at this picture, you'll see my bike across the trailer tongue of a U-Haul trailer.
Now, what page are we on for people following at home?
225.
Okay. This is like being in church or something. You've got to make sure you're on the right page.
I got a flat tire. I was down in the Bay Area, and my sister and brother were driving the truck, bringing a U-Haul trailer up with my stuff in 1978 when I moved here. And I got a flat tire just before Roberts Mountain, or just before the last pass, Canyon Creek Pass. And so I didn't have a way to put it in the trailer because it was full. So I straddled the bike across the tongue of the U-Haul trailer. And I'm hanging on. There's nothing to hang on to because the front of the trailer is extremely smooth. And I'm just going, oh my gosh, is this going to work? So they're traveling about 50 miles an hour. And then we get stopped. Oregon State Trooper.
You were on the bike.
Whereas I'm sitting on the bike, holding it and balancing it on the front of the trailer, trying to get back, trying to get to Canyonville to a gas station where I could get my tire fixed.
That seems like it's probably not normally allowed.
It was not very smart either. But when the Oregon State Trooper stopped me, he said, normally I'd give you a ticket, but I don't know what statute for stupidity to write you up for. And so I didn't get a ticket, but he just shook his head as he walked away. And got the bike fixed, got the tire fixed, and got to Oregon the rest of the way. So that was a pretty good story.
Wow, you have another one?
Now we're going to page 274, and you're going to see a pig on the back of my bike.
And you don't often see that.
No, you don't often see that. Neither do normal people either. I picked out a pig in a barnyard because I have parties out at my house in 10 Mile every year, and I was roasting a pig in the ground. So I got a pig picked out, and I went to Sio, to Brown Slaughterhouse, to pick him up, me and another friend on his Harley, too. And we went to pick him up, and the guy says, where's your truck? I said, I don't have a truck. I have a motorcycle. The pig weighs 205 pounds. It's 6'3" wide. How are you going to do that? Well, I found a board. I put a board on, put the pig on, tied it on, and took off. Well, the first few feet was kind of crazy because the bike wanted to do a wheelie with all that weight on the back. Once I got going, it was a little bit easier to go down the road. So if you're looking on page 276 and 277, you see the pictures of me, the exhaust pipe's almost dragging the ground. There's so much weight on the back.
Oh, man.
And then the other picture is of the pig. And then if you go to page 278, there's two Oregon State Troopers pulled me over. There were people getting off the freeway. There was no cell phones in 1980. They were getting off the freeway and said, there's a biker headed south with a pig or a body on the back. And so they got the report that I was hauling a dead body on the back of the bike. And so the cops said, looked at it and said, oh, it's just a big pig. I said, yeah, I'm going for a barbecue or going to roast it in the ground. And I said, do me a favor, call ahead, tell your other friends to not stop me because I'm going to 10 Mile and you've already found out that it's a pig. Okay, no problem. So that was another story there.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing that you figured out a way to do that and not, you know, crash and burn.
It was touch and go at first. And if you go to page 282, you'll see that I hauled a 10-foot stovepipe into town or from town from Roseburg out to 10 Mile. And I managed to haul a 10-foot stovepipe on the bike. And then right next to that, I'm hauling a full bottle of CO2 for my oxygen acetylene welding. I managed to haul that in, too. And if I crashed, that would have been bad news because a broken bottle of CO2 is probably not a good thing.
Wow. What else do we have?
Go to page 288. Father's Day, 1980, went to Powers, Oregon. Went to a gas station that a guy owned named Larry Todd. And he mentioned that he did not like bikers and he didn't want to give me any of the gas. So I pulled the gas pump out, started filling it up. He went into the shop, grabbed a 12-gauge shotgun, brought it back out, jacked a shell in the chamber, held the gun at my head and said, "Put the pump down. You ain't getting none of my gas." I said, "I'm not done yet." And I filled up the other tank too. And I got done. I turned around slowly, pulled my wallet out, set the money on the top of the gas pump. And he walked up, put his foot on my front fender and said, "You're not going anywhere till the cops get here." So I stood up. I was straddling the bike. I stood up straddling the bike. His shotgun's about a foot away from my face. And I yelled at him, "Get the off of my bike right now." And he wouldn't move. And I yelled at him even more. He backed his foot up. He backed up a few steps. He said, "But you're still not going anywhere." And the cops showed up. The other picture right there is me walking over to the cops with my arms outstretched. Both cops had their guns on me. The guy with the shotgun had his gun on me. And I'm saying, "I'm pressing charges against this guy. He's a lunatic." And so they did give him a citation for menacing. And there was two people sitting in a vehicle, watched the whole thing. And they come up to the officer, said, "This young man on the motorcycle did nothing wrong. This person with the shotgun, that person should be put in jail." And so I don't think they did put him in jail because he's a business owner. And after it was all over, I asked the cop, I said, "Tell me, was the gun loaded?" He goes, "Yep, it was full of 12-gauge double-aught buck. There was a shell in the chamber and the safety was off." I said, "Okay, that's all I wanted to know." And so that was one. That one could have been a different outcome, but it came out not too bad considering.
All right, we got time for one more story here, I think.
Well, if we go to page 349, that is Windy Creek. That's Fossil, Oregon, where Abate of Oregon, where I was the chief officer of that from 1980 on. That's me running the slow race with my motorcycle in the old days at the very beginning times of being a rat bike. Now, Alan, that used to own Blake's Carbide, was there. He took these pictures. I had never seen these pictures before. He brought them in, and he showed me the pictures, said, "Milo, is this you?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I was there. I was driving a van for all of the musicians and brought the musical instruments over, and I took pictures of you winning the slow race." He brought these pictures in to me one day before I was sending this book off to print. This was 43 years later after he took the pictures, and he happened to bring them in one day before the book went to print. So that's how things happen for a reason, and that's how I got some of these pictures in the book at the very last minute there, Kyle.
Wow, pretty exciting story, and you feel like you've obviously had quite a life.
There's a lot of things had. This body of mine's had 34 operations and 28 broken bones. And you know what? This too shall pass. I'm here for a reason. And I just love making people smile. I love putting smiles on people's faces. I love doing what I'm doing at Oregon Tool and Supply, showing them solutions. There's no such thing as a problem. There's always solutions. And me and that rat bike have been across the country 7 times to Washington, D.C. 7 times across the country, and it's been a lot of fun so far. And you can find out more of these stories by coming by Oregon Tool and Supply and getting one of those books for only $35, and you're going to have a good, enjoyable time, I guarantee it.
How many miles do you think you've ridden?
Probably about 625,000 miles on the Harley itself with a whole lot of different engines because things don't actually go smooth as could be when you're on the road. And you'll see a lot of that about what happens and what goes south when it happens.
All right, Milo Anderson, Milo and the Rat Bike, the early years. Milo, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle. I really appreciate the time, and we'll see you soon at Oregon Tool and Supply in year number 42.
All right, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.